word today. Help me to be glorifying to you as I teach it. Help us to uncover truths that are that just flabbergast us. Help us to share these with others, and as these tapes and videos go out, that they will honor and glorify you and build people up in the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I still got sand in my eyes from that sandstorm yesterday. That was absolutely, I felt like Moses in the desert. We're on 3 and verse 10, I believe. Or did we finish that last week? Remember? No, we just got to it. Okay. Hold. Gar. Thelon. Zoane. Agapain. Kai. Edain. Hemaros. Agathos. Pasato. Tain. Glosson. Op. Kaku. Kai. Hele. Tu. May. Lalese. Dolon. There's some really good words in here. Some good things to uncover. Peter has changed in his wording from the Septuagint that he's quoting from here. He has changed the wording a little bit in the person and the verbs and everything else to fit what he's using. He's making the application, and so he's changing it. And it would have said loving life. He put it here instead of a present participle as a substitute. He puts it in the infinitive. The one to love life. Okay? The one loving this present life. Now, this also is a Hebraism brought over into Greek. It's not really Greek. It's a Hebraism that's been brought in Greek. It was done the same thing in the Septuagint, and also now he's quoting it from Psalm 34 and verse 11 and 12. And also James 3, 1 through 12. You'll see James quoting this also. For the one wishing life to love and loving, if you want to live life to its fullest, if you really love yourself, you will serve the Lord. Did you know that? There's a whole lot in this. If you love yourself, if you love your children, if you love your grandchildren, if you love your mother, your father, you will serve the Lord. You know why? In this world that we live in, the best thing you can do for your family is to show them what kind of a person you are and let them know that you're going to heaven when you die. That's the greatest gift you can leave behind when you die and you go on to lead this life. That's one thing. It's comforting, isn't it? To your family. Now, how about your children? Now, sometimes if you raise your children and do the best you can with them in this world, sometimes they go astray, don't they? But if you don't do that, if you don't raise them in church, if you don't give them all the best things in life, raise them up, help them with their homework, send them to school, make them go to school, teach them how to work, teach them to be citizens, guess what? The chickens come home to roost, don't they? The one really, if you really love yourself when you're young, do these things. Or when you're older, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. I'm telling you right now. What is this whole third chapter in 1 Peter, what's it telling us? Women, be real women in your home. Husbands, you are the head of your home and you are going to do it. If you don't do it, you will pay, your wife will pay, your children will pay for generations. Did you know that? How long How many generations are the sins of the parents affected in their children?
Seven
generations. You can curse your family, or you can bless them. If you love yourself, if you really love life, boy, Peter is really getting with us, getting real close. He's shaving us. They used to say when I was going to the seminary, don't skin the sheep, just clip them real close now and then, but don't skin them. I'll tell you what, Peter's taking some hide now and then too, because we know this. This is, it's in our lives. Are you recipients? Have you cursed yourself in your life? Or have you loved yourself? How about your children and your grandchildren, your brothers, your sisters? Have you cursed or have you blessed them with your life? Well, this is it. That's what it's saying right here. This isn't me. This is Peter talking to us. For the one wishing life to love and to say and to see good days. You want to have a good life? Start it out early. Start it out early. Be the kind of wife you ought to be. Be the kind of husband you ought to be. Be the kind of son, the kind of daughter that you want to be. Children can curse themselves. Did you know that? Grow, have a brat of a child. Guess what? When they get older, they're liable to get a brat of a child. It's going to happen. It happens. For the one wishing, okay, nominee, singular, masculine, present, participle, active. Wishing, what's that word wishing? This word comes from fellow. Huh? If you wish something, what are you doing? You're hoping. What you're doing is when you're taking something mental and putting it into the physical realm. A plan. The one wishing life, this Zoein. What kind of life is this Zoein usually, Brother Ken?
Zoein is
usually when it's talking. What kind of life? It's not bios. Zoein is, bios is a life. Biology, biological life. Zoein is usually what kind of life?
Animal life?
No. We get a word zoo from it.
Yeah.
But that word zoo comes right out of this word, but it means usually spiritual life. The one wishing life, and then what is the word agapon here? That comes from agapeo, doesn't it? What kind of love is this? If you really love yourself, you will hold your lust, desires, and personal needs in check. You're going to handcuff yourself and keep yourself in line if you love life. And if you want to see good days. Look at this word. Here we have to see. It comes a day, and that means second aorist infinitive active. Comes from hora'o, and that means to see as on a scope, as on a television, in your mind's eye. And hemeros is just plain old days, accusative plural. And then agathos. What about this word agathos? There's another word, kalo in Greek. That means just good. But agathos is what kind of good? Huh? What kind of word is this agathos? What kind of good is it? Spiritual. Here is another word for spiritually good. Alright, this is good planning. Peter is talking about planning your life well. Last week he kicked the men in the teeth, didn't he? I mean, he beat us up real good. Said, we are going to be fathers, we are going to be husbands, we are going to be the heads of our home, or we are going to be an absolute failure in the world. We're failures if we're not that. We're total failures. It said, wives, I want you to live in such a way that you won't have to open your trap to lead your husband to the Lord if he's lost. And that will be the greatest witness, and the greatest word won't come from your lips, but from your actions. Now I said, if you really love life, then you will do it God's way. Because if you don't, you will curse yourself and curse your children. You want to see good days? Then live for God. Real plain, isn't it? Do you think that's the truth? Amen. That's the truth. 1 Peter 3 and 10, Brother Jim. The one wishing life to love and to see good days, let him cause to cease. All right? Let him shut his trap. That's what it's talking about. It comes from pa'o, which means to cease. All right? Let him cease tame glosson. What's this glosson? Our word glossary comes from it. What is a glossary? Okay, it's a collection of words. All right. Let him tie his tongue in a knot. James 3, 1 through 12, if you want to go read over there. James says the tongue is a terribly double curse to mankind. By the preaching of the Word of God, people are to be saved. All right? By the preaching of the Word of God, people are saved. But also, a man can curse himself and his whole family with his mouth. Can he? You can be an absolute... You can humiliate your family. You can humiliate your wife. A man can just destroy himself. A woman can completely curse her family with her tongue. Can she not? An absolute curse for generations. We're talking about generations now. We're not talking about just the now. For generations. You want to see good days? Shut your mouth. Stop talking. And start doing. Doing the good stuff. It says, keep your tongue from kaku. This is Adamic evil. That's what that kaku means, kakos. It means Adamic evil. It means that which is natural to for your body. All right? And then it says, and kai, kile. This kile, what is this word, kile? At your lips. All right? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips. Your tongue and your lips from evil. And it says not to speak. That word lale here. That's first aorist infinitive active. It comes from laleo. And this word here, it means words that can be communicated between one person and another by means of human facility of lips, tongue, the roof of your mouth, your vocal cords, all of that. So that's what this word means. The human media of communication. It says, keep your tongue and your... I mean, it is absolutely drawing out everything here, isn't it? Not leaving out a thing. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from evil, and don't speak deceit. Don't lie. Don't try to catch somebody. Don't be a con. That's what the word doodlong means. Is to bait somebody, to trick them. To con them out of money, con them out of prestige, to con them. That's what it means. To lie to somebody to get gain. Of some sort. 3 and verse 11. 3 and verse 10 was dynamite, wasn't it? That ought to just tear our lives up. Because we can see our failure so plainly, can't we? It would be nice if we were all 16 years older again. old again and could start all over, huh? Because when you're 40 years old or when you're 33 years old, you're old and healed, aren't you, brother? This is Brother Ken's birthday. He's middle-aged. Almost. You wish you could go back, huh? And live it again. But I'll tell you what, do the best you can where you are today. And I'm going to tell you this, don't do the best you can. Let God do the best that He can do with your messed up life today. He's repaired my messed up life. He can repair your messed up life. Whether you're 20, 30, 40, 50, or over the hill. One thing about it, God forgives us of our sins. He does. He does that. God forgives us of our sins. They follow us. They don't turn loose. That's what Peter said. The sins aren't going to turn loose. If you want to love yourself, don't do these stupid things. 3 and verse 11. Ecclenato day. Apo, kaku, kai, poiesopto, agathon, zetesopto, irene, kai, diazopto, altane. And Peter is quoting the Septuagint in Psalm 34 and verse 14 again. He changes the person of the verbs again here from the Septuagint to here to bring it about for his application here. He's saying they did this over there or you did this over here, but now let's get to the here and now. Let's get down here to us today. Now we have a solid teaching set aside in the Old Testament. Now he said, let's apply it to ourselves today. He said, let him turn aside out of the way from. Turn aside and out of the way from. And it says, actually, you're going to have to put day in front of this. And let him turn out and away from. Ek is out and klinato, okay, or klino is where it comes from. And then we have an apo. An apo is a preposition that means what? From and away from. Out, from, away from, and then it's kaku. What's this word kaku? The Adamic nature. Don't do it. Don't do what your body wants you to do. Keep it in line. That's right. Keep it in line. And, Kai, poiesopto, let him do, literally, let him rhyme with good. Rhyme. This word poiesopto comes from poio, and our word poem comes from it. And you, in a poem, you make words rhyme. Okay? You make words rhyme. That's what this word comes from. It can mean to make or to work something out. But it said, let him rhyme with good. Let him do good. Here's this word agathon again. What kind of good is this? It's not kalos.
Spiritual good.
This is spiritual good. This is heavenly things. Like I keep telling you, I keep saying this over and over every week. How many of you did something eternal this week? I hope some of you are doing some eternal things this week instead of just the now. Do something that will follow you into heaven. Eternal things. And then it says, let him seek zealously. First aorist, imperative active, third person singular. Let him seek zealously a reining. Accusative and singular. Arena. On page 575 in Bullinger's word study, you're going to see the word shalom. Shalom. See that word? There you go, Brother Ken.
That's funny. Don't like that.
Okay. And arene also. Okay, arene. You're going to see these words. Shalom and arene. It says, zealously seek peace and quiet. Peace. Shalom. In the Jewish world, they greet each other with shalom. And in the Greek world, they may say arene si philemu, or arene, which means the same thing as shalom. Peace to you, brother. Peace. Peace. Absolute all absence of worry, any disturbance, any harm, absolute safety. How many of you, my wife turns television on, public television, and I get mad every time I watch it. I don't like to see the thing. I don't like to see the commercials. I don't like to see the news. I don't like to see anything. I just get upset when I do. It really, it's upsetting to me. That real world out there is a terrible place to be. You know that? They're killing each other today, right and left. They're planning mass genocide, everything you can think of. And they're talking about this. I mean, the things you need to go out and buy a week's worth of groceries and some duct tape, the duct tape all over your windows, and plastic to seal your windows up just in case we're bombed with viruses and everything, and go out and take these shots, one out of ever so many of them going to kill you. And your children might be killed at school or traveling in the road. Don't go to any government buildings, all this kind of stuff. This is really scary stuff. That's the absolute opposite of shalom and arene. There's no peace in that. This was written in a Middle East world where there was war going on all the time. When I was over there in 1975 and 76 in the Middle East, I was in war all the time I was there. I heard guns shooting, bombs going off, grenades going off, rockets flying, heard bombs dropping all the time I was over there. And I asked this Arab guide, I said, over there, in I think around Jericho, where I was, I said, how in the world do you put up with this? This is the absolute opposite of shalom. When he came to us and was talking to us when we were down there looking at the Dead Sea, you know, where the Dead Sea Scrolls are, where the Qumran caves or the Essenes live, he said, shalom. And then here, machine guns, like this, and boom, 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 boom. And he said, shalom. Well, there wasn't much peace around there as far as I could tell. I went down there in Hebron, down there where Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all them are all buried. Guess what? There's a guy out there standing with a machine gun. I mean, there were guns, loaded guns all over the place, constantly. When I crossed from Jordan into Israel, I saved everybody's life. I lost my immune record. Communication, whatever you call it. At yellow piece of paper, it says that you've had all your shots. I lost it somewhere. Somebody stole it out of my pocket or something. And we were detained there at the Allenby Bridge. Well, our bus, it was just one line bus after the other, and our bus got to go across the line with somebody else in it. And when it went out there so far, we heard a great big explosion. They had bombed our bus that we were on. When I got up there where the bus was, it was nothing but tin everywhere and tires on fire in a frame out there. There was nothing left of the bus. They blew it up. There wasn't much shalom there. Not much of raining. Pursue diozopto. Diozopto, it says. Third person singular, first aorist, imperative active, comes from dioko, and that means to chase it down. To pursue, to chase down peace. Let a man pursue peace like he does the love of his life. How long have you been married, Brother Ken?
Almost 13 years.
Almost 13 years. Boy, you got a beautiful wife.
She ran really hard.
It's hard to catch her, wasn't it? You had to have her, didn't you? You had to have that woman in your life, huh?
Yep.
And you pursued her. That's right. I saw my mother pursue Joe. She was hot on his heels. On his trail, hot on that trail. I remember up there when I was going coon hunting, the dogs would get out there and when they were on a fast track or really getting close to an animal, they were going woo woo woo, just squealing like that. Fast. That's the way we're supposed to pursue peace, like it was the love of our life. Pursue peace like the love of our lives. There's the love of my life back there, sitting back there giggling up the storm. I didn't chase her much, she chased me. She wouldn't have caught me much either because I was scared to death of women. But I'm thankful that she was prized. Prized. We ought to pursue peace and pursue all the good things of life like we do the loves of our life. Some of us, the love of our life is a house or a car or a woman or a man or something. Whatever it was that's so important to you, lay that aside and pursue peace first of all. And by the way, if you pursue the godly things, then all other things can be added unto you anyway. Mm-hmm. All right? Pursue peace. And this word altain down there, by the way, that third person singular pronoun down there, accusative singular, that one goes back up there to a rainy. Pursue peace like it was the love of your life. And then 3 and verse 12. Hote. Ophthalmoi. Kirio. Epi. Dikaius. Kai. Ota.
Ota.
Auto.
Auto.
Ace.
Dason.
Auton.
Auton.
Prosopon.
Prosopon.
Day.
Day.
Kiryu.
Kiryu.
Epi.
Epi.
Poyuntas.
Poyuntas.
Kaka.
Kaka.
Here's that bad word again. All right. Hote. I came in the house the other day I said, Hote, Agape, and a few other words. I can't even remember what I told my wife, but I told her in Greek, I says, love covers. It was Hote, Agape, Kalipte, Plethos, Harmakion. Love covers a multitude of sins. Not talking about the sins of the person loving, but the one loved. God covers our sins. He doesn't see them anymore when we're saved or anything. But those dirty sins follow us in life. They follow us in the here and now. We won't have to put up with them in eternity. But those sins that we have committed in our life follow us today. Like the stink from a skunk. How many of you have been around a skunk lately? You don't get close to a skunk without smelling like one, do you? It says, because the eyes, the ophthalmoi, the eyes of the Lord, of Jehovah, And you can put down here, you can put down a little old verb, because the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. The kaius, they're upon the righteous, or the ones righteous, okay? The Lord is watching His people. I'm going to tell you something, the world's watching you too. But you know what? Your children are watching you. You know where your children get their bad habits? From you. You know where your children get your good habits? Your good habits? It's supposed to be from you. We sometimes send our children to school to learn right from wrong. Most of the time in school, they'll learn the wrong. You better be a real good example at home of right and wrong and justice and fairness and what's right and what is wrong. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous ones. Then it says here, Kai Ota. What is an optic solution? I wish your wife was still here. An optic solution. Come on, Mama. What is it? An optic solution.
Your ear.
For your ears. That's something, a solution, or oil or something, mm-hmm. to put in your ear and make your ear get better. All right? That's an optic solution. That's where this word right here comes right out of the Greek. Ota. It means ears. All right? And the ears of him. Who is this of him? Genitive singular masculine. Third person pronoun. Of Kyrios. Jehovah. God. The ears of Jehovah. The ear of God. And then it says ace. The asen. This word ace means extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. Extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. And in this case, right here, the idea, the action of this preposition in Greek, and you can look that up on page 119 if you want to. There's a whole bunch of explanations of it. Mm-hmm. His ears are inclined to our prayers. They're pointed to our prayers at all times. The righteous ones. That's what it's talking about. Of them. But the face of the Lord is also upon the ones practicing Adamic evil, lust, whatever it may be, money, sins of the flesh, sex, pride, drinking, gambling, what are all of these things? Lusting? This is all, it's all caca. That's what it says right now here. Men practicing evil deeds will not escape the ears and the eyes of Jehovah. 3 and verse 13. Kai. Tis. Kakusum. Himas. Yon. Tu. Agathu. Zelote. Gineste. All right. This is security of a believer from verses 3:13 through 4:11. We can be confident that God is our defender. God stands in the gap for us many times in this present world. Because whose world is it? Satan's. I mean, when we're born again, we're born right in the middle of a battlefield. We're babies right out there where the mortars and the bombs and the machine gun fire and the tracers are going right over your head and through you and around you and by you. And you're right there. That's how, where you're born, right out in the middle of the battlefield. And you are seeking a reigning shalom, peace from it. The only place you're ever going to find peace in this world is the Lord Jesus Christ and in His will for your life. You cannot go and do the things of the flesh and get by with it. It will haunt you. All of your life, all of your children's life, they will haunt you. And whoever, the one, wanting to harm you, or the one who shall harm you or do evil against you, if the good zealots ye may become. Become zealots for the Lord. And if anybody harms you, sooner or later, they're going to be ashamed. May not be in this life, but boy, it's going to be in the next. How many of you have ever been beat up and slapped around by the world and those that are in the world? And the chickens come home to roost, don't they? We'll give you a prime example of that. My poor little wife was beat up all her life by her mother. Her one child that she loved so much, she was totally estranged from her. She picked out another one to show her affection upon, and she died. And the one that she despised so much, which is my wife, and she only did that because she told the truth one time in her life. And her mother hated her all her life. And guess what? The chickens came home to roost. When that woman was dying, my wife was the only one that really loved her. The one she didn't want. That's something in it. Karma right now. Hard lessons to learn. We can see this in the world so easily, can't we? But you know something? There is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun from that's real forever. It's not going to go away. When we leave this world, we've got an eternity to spend somewhere. We do. An eternity to spend. What we do right now, in the present, this time and space, right where we live, has a whole lot to do with where we're going to spend eternity. Matter of fact, it's got everything to do with where you're going to spend eternity. But what did it say in a few verses ago? If you want to be happy, if you love yourself, what should you do?
Seek Jesus.
Do the right things in life. If you love yourself, then do the right thing. Be of moral character. When you grow up, when you're an adolescent, when you're a young child, if you love yourself, be a child of God. When you're an adolescent, be a child of God and the kind of child of God that you ought to be. When you're a teenager, even though the flying saucers come and absolutely steal your brain for the next 20 years, be the kind of child of God that God would want you to be. And if you skip any of those stages in your life, then you become a young adult and an adult, and then geriatrics set in. But whatever stage you are in life, and we all go through those stages if we're lucky, huh? Do what God wants for you in your life. If you don't, it's going to hurt you. It's really going to harm you. It's going to harm your children. It's going to harm your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your great-great-grandchildren. If the Lord doesn't come back, it'll be there for seven generations. So can the good things. Did you know that? I I remember, and I've told this story before, some of you have not heard it, but I had an uncle, Bill, that was a horrible person. That man was evil. That was my mother's, he was my great uncle. It was her mother's brother. I know that he killed three men. And I know that he stabbed one of my friend's fathers all the way through his body with a butcher knife. I found one of the men he killed. He got by with all this. And when I was little, he stole everything I ever had. I mean, I'd get a present, a Christmas present or a birthday present. I had it maybe a week or two, and he stole it and sold it for wine. He was a wino. Every time he got near me, he tried to pull one of my ears off or pull pieces of my hair out and hope it wasn't my scalp going with it. When I was about 3 years old, he took an axe handle and hit me across the back with it. I was sitting there looking at a little old magazine, an encyclopedia, and he walked by. He had an axe handle in his hand. He hit me as hard as he could hit me with the axe handle, almost killed me. This little old kid shot his brother's dog just to watch his brother cry when they were out hunting. Bad man. But you know what? He had a godly father. He had a godly father. He was old Papa Stewart, wasn't he, Mama? Godly man. A man of peace, a man of love for his children. I got two of his Bibles that he gave to this boy, telling him he'd be a wonderful preacher. Told him what sermons. How many he had sermons? Or this make a good sermon? One of them was given to him in 1907 or something. 1903, somewhere around there. One Bible that I have. Then the other one in 1920 something. He wanted to remind him. And I hated this man. I mean, bad. But after I got saved, I got a burden upon my heart to go up and see this man in the hospital sick. So I went up there and I cut loose on him because I hated him. I told him he was going to hell. I said, Bill, you're going to hell. And I don't know anybody that deserves going to hell more than you do because you're a bad man. Smiling all the time I'm saying this. You know, here I am. I have the upper hand here. I'm telling the man how bad he is, and he knows it. Because nobody knows him better than I did. He lived on the same piece of property with me in a little old Indian village, so to speak, growing up in shacks and trailers and lean-tos when I was young, and I had to put up with him. And I said, Bill, you are going to hell, and you deserve to. And he started bawling, crying. He said, I don't want to go to hell. I want to be saved. Well, I said, you know, the Lord can save you. And I didn't want him to. I wanted to tell the man he was going to hell and walk out from lost because he deserved to go to hell. See, this guy ought to go to hell, Lord. I mean, I'm telling him that, except the Lord touched his heart. You know why the Lord touched that man's heart? That wicked, wicked man. Because his father was a good man. And his father prayed for him. And the Holy Spirit of God dealt with my heart a couple of generations down the line as this old rat was dying. You know what? That rascal went to church later with his sister. He was a rascal. But he changed what little time he had left because of the godly prayers of his father. Didn't have nothing to do with his life. He was a rat all of his life. Except the end. Because God changed his heart, see. Wickedness is all I ever saw of that man. From the time I grew up until I went up there and witnessed to him. Boy. But it does affect your children what you do with your life. His mother wasn't a shining example, but the father was. Of what truth was, of what goodness was, the prayers of that father. And I never knew the reason for that until I got those Bibles a few years ago. Then I put things together. I said, Lord, why did you let that rat off at the last minute? Well, he let the rat off on the cross, didn't he? He was a killer and a murderer and a thief. that was on the cross next to Jesus, and the Lord said, He said, Lord, remember me when you come into your paradise. He said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Today. He didn't have a bit of good works to do. But you know what? Every time I told that story, Bill got something on his account. His father got something to his account. That's the good things. That's what you can do for your children. Don't worry about all of the things in this life that can harm you and that do harm you. You do the right thing and God will take care of it. He will take care of you. I mean, this world may kill you. Look at all those Anabaptists down through the ages that died with their heads on sticks for hundreds of miles down the road. They died. But guess what? Better. A few more minutes here. 3:14. 3:14. All.
A.
A. Kai. Poskoite.
Poskoite.
Dia.
Dia.
Dekaosune.
Dekaosune.
Makai rioi.
Makai rioi.
Tu.
Tu.
De.
De.
Bobon.
Bobon.
That was tone, by the way, not two. Tone de Bobon.
Auton.
Auton.
May.
May. Bobe. Bobe
Thete.
Mayday.
Mayday.
Parak Thete.
Parak
Thete. We have in this verse an optative mode, by the way. It's a very, very rare mode in Greek. But if indeed ye may suffer. But if indeed you may suffer. This word Pasco, Pasco, this is what this word comes from, and we have the Paschal Lamb. What is the Paschal Lamb? Paschal, that's come right from this Greek word, Paschal. What does the word Paschal mean?
The sacrificial
lamb, the lamb marked for sacrifice.
Similar as Arana.
Yeah. It's this is the word here that means it is to suffer.
Mm.
All right. This is the. But if indeed ye may suffer. Now this word here is second person plural, present, optative, and active. Optative mode is a mode of hopeful affirmation. Now I'm going to tell you something. How many of you hope that you're going to suffer in this life? Brace yourselves. That's all I got to say. Brace yourselves. Suffering is coming. You're not going to get out of this world without suffering. It's not going to happen. This word here is an optative mode. It's a mode of hopeful affirmation. But we don't really hope for the suffering, do we? This word A there, that's a conditional particle. It's in the fourth class conditional here. Undetermined with prospect of determination still. Alright? It's an if. But if indeed you may suffer because of righteousness. Look at that. You may suffer because of righteousness. Be happy. That's what that means. There was a song here a few years ago. It says, be happy. Be happy. Be happy. Be happy. Remember that song? Well, it says, if you suffer for righteousness' sake, and since you're going to, very few of us get through the world without suffering for something. You're a good guy and you've been taken advantage of, huh? How many times does that happen? Hope it doesn't happen every day to you. Sooner or later, you've got to open your eyeballs. You may suffer because of righteousness. Happy. Blessed. But the fear of them. But But those that are going to cause your fear, their threats, ever have anybody ever threaten you? Yeah. We get threatened a lot in this world, don't we? You don't pay your taxes and the IRS will threaten you. They will take everything you've got until you pay every last cent back that you didn't pay, supposedly, and they'll charge you interest on that, huh? Ungainful interest, ungodly gain. But the fear of them, don't worry about fearing. Second person plural, first aorist subjunctive passive. Don't worry about being caused to fear. Neither may ye be caused to be troubled. Don't worry about it, the Lord says. I'm going to take care of it. Don't worry about it. I'm going to take care of it. I went to court a few years ago with a custody battle for my daughter. Her mother had horribly abused her. She had lied about me and done all kinds of things to me. Tortured that child to hurt me. And slandered and lied. Committed perjury. Everything you can think of. And the only reason why I didn't kill her is because I know the Lord's going to take care of it. That's it. This verse is in the Bible still. He is going to take care of it some way down the line. I know that He'll take care of it. But what I'm supposed to do is do the best I can do. Let the Lord shine through me right through all of this mess and do what God wants me to do. I had one woman come up to me in church one time and she said, "You know something? If I were you, if you were me, I'd go on strike on the Lord. I'd say, Lord, I am not going to serve you another day until you straighten this mess out." She said, "I can't stand it. I can't sleep at night." I don't know how you stand it. It's grace. It's hard grace. I heard a song earlier tonight. They were saying out there, "Lord, teach me to be humble. Lord, teach me to be more patient. Lord, teach me to be gracious. Lord, make me patient." I don't want to pray any of those things. Because you know how you learn patience? It's through tribulation. I'm going to be patient. It's fine. Lord, that's enough. I'm patient enough right now. That's enough. I don't want any more tribulation. I don't want any more humility. That means you're humiliated. No, any more of it. I'm fine. Yes.
The Lord says, "Vengeance is mine."
That's right. In verse 15, it says, "Let good be in control of your life." Peter is really preaching some real hard messages. The Lord, in Matthew 5 and 10, James 5 and verse 11, Isaiah 8 and verse 12, all of these places are corresponding to what we've learned tonight in this verse. And learn one thing. Whatever you've gone through in your life had to be good for you. Or God wouldn't let it happen. Just think about that one for a minute. Whatever you've gone through in life had to be good for you, or God would not have let it happen. It had to be make you better. It had to be for your good. Think about that for a minute. All of these things. that happen in our life. Kirion, day, tone,
Riston,
Augusti, sate, in,
taste,
karies, kimon,
etoimoi,
a,
pros,
apologion, ponti,
tu,
itunte, kimas,
lagon,
peri,
taste,
and
himen,
elpidos. And we'll finish with this verse tonight. But Jehovah, the Christ, Jehovah the Christ, ye sanctify, ye set apart in a particular way of service in your hearts. But Jehovah God, the Christ of the Bible, ye sanctify in the hearts of ye. And it says, ready always for a defense. This word apologion here, that word means, we get our word apologetics from this word. This means to be able to defend, to debate. For always we should be ready for the defense to the one asking. Now this is a much quoted verse in the Bible. Always be ready in your heart to answer those that question you for the defense of the gospel, for the defense of the word of God, and for the hope that's in you. It says, for the defense to everyone asking ye, an answer concerning the hope that is in you. Be ready to give an answer to everyone. Why are you doing what you're doing in your life? I have not always been, trying to think of the word, practical in some ways in this world. What is the date today? The 12th? I've not always been practical with everything that I've done in my life. I'm a practical person, but I haven't always been practical. Because a large portion of my life is set aside for the service of God. And I don't know whether you've ever seen this discovertheword.com, wherever it is, up here. And the tapes that I've done over the last 30 years, I've given a lot of them away. That costs a lot of money to do that. It costs a lot of money to tape these things and everything. That's a lot of money. And tithing to the church and all this stuff. Some people might say that's real impractical. You're throwing a lot of money away. Well, I'm going to tell you something. That's my retirement fund. I'm not trying to brag or anything like that at all. By any means. But a lot of people's lives have been touched with tapes. People that I've never even met are serving God and are teaching lessons and classes in places all over this world for the glory of God. That's an investment that you make. And it's a large investment. But Christian-wise, I think it's a very wise investment. And also I try to be faithful. That's another thing that I try to do. I'm up here, last week I preached right here in this spot with nearly pneumonia. My wife tried to talk me out of going because she knew how sick I was. I said, just turn me loose. Let me do what I need to do, because the reason why I'm still alive in this world is what I'm doing. The Lord lets me live because I teach His Word. That's why I'm here. Everything else is something else. It's just, that's not important. My purpose in life is teaching and communicating the Word of God. And God has something for you to do. The least thing you can do is be faithful. I remember when I used to come to this church nearly 10 years ago when I started coming here. There was a man up there. He's dead now, I think. But he was a great inspiration to me. He was a little bit overweight. He was an old farmer-looking guy. And he had always had red suspenders on. And he was always there. Every service, he was there. I haven't seen him for a long time, so I know he must be dead now. But the Word of God says, the last shall be first and the first shall be last. And so many things is that way. What is more important in this world is for us to be faithful like God is faithful to us. Everything in this third chapter of the writing of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 3, is telling one thing, that God is faithful to us and that we should be faithful to Him. And if we're not faithful to Him, we are cutting our own throats. We need to be faithful to God. It's very important. It's important for you, for your children, for your family, for those people that look to you as an example. It is a high calling of God. Did you know that? Every one of you that is saved has a high calling of God. And it is important that you recognize that calling of God. It's higher than anything in this land. I remember so many times preachers told me in life when I was going to seminary, the calling of God to one of His teachers and one of His ministers is the highest calling that anybody could ever have. It's more than being elected as President of the United States or Iran or any place. It's a greater honor than any of that. Because God has called you to be His representative. And each and every one of us has got a niche in life that we need to have. God has called you not to live for yourself. Because if you live for yourself, you're living death. Did you know that? You're living dead stuff. But if you live for God, if you want to be happy, what are you supposed to do? Do God stuff. If you ever want to have peace in your life, you can drown yourself with worries going the wrong direction. Did you know that? You can absolutely have yourself in quicksand. And you'll drag that mud with you the rest of your life. Or you can do what God has called you to do. He never calls you to do anything that's harmful to you. Did you know that? So many times, I mean, you might think, well, I want to do this, I want to do that. No, you don't need to. God says you don't need to. And God said if you do those things that your flesh thinks you ought to do, that you're just drowning yourself in the quicksand. Not only that, it affects your whole world and everybody in it. It affects everybody around you, your neighbors. It does. One time when my boys were going to school, they had a lot of trouble with gangs. And they beat my boy up real bad one day, and I came home from the seminary and I picked him up and he was all beat up. I was really mad. They had busted all the windows out of one's classroom that day out of Fairfax School. They cut the seats all up in a bus. They poured whiskey all over my boy and beat him all up. His eyes were all swollen shut. His mouth was all busted and everything. Nobody done anything for him to protect him. Boy, I went out there and got on the street and I said, which one of them did it? He started pointing out. So I got out there and I called the sheriff. And one of the mothers came out there and knew. This kid came after me with a knife and a chain. I just took it away from him. And she said, you touched my son. I said, you are a menace to society. You are cursing the world that you live in today. I said, you're not fit to breathe air that God gives you, raising your children to be criminals and protecting them in criminal activity like this. You're going to pay for it. I said, you ought to be ashamed to even show your face with children running around like this and protecting them out here in their dirty deeds. You know what? That boy killed one of his best friends, stabbed him about 7 or 8 times in the night, cut his throat. He lived in prison for the largest majority of his life after that. I didn't have to be a prophet to tell her that. She should have had those children in church. She should have slapped their hands when they wanted to steal from the neighborhood store. She should have beat their little bottoms and corrected them and aimed them in the right direction. They may not always go that way, but that's the thing that she should do. Or else she's going to heap a curse right on top of her head, isn't she? That happens. The greatest investment you can make in this world when you're raising children is invest your time in them. Raise them the right direction. Take them to church. Do it. You've got to do it. You have to. It's absolutely necessary. These are the things that God tells you if you want to be free, if you want to be at peace, do things the right way. Thank you for your attention and the endurance of those hard seats. Brother Ken, would you dismiss us in prayer?
Thank you, Father God, so much for this day that we all can come here and give us the desire in our hearts to want to look into your word a little deeper than everybody else. I pray, Lord God, you just help us take this message you have for us that you put in your word. Help us to use it practically. Help us to go out and search peace, to not look at the things of the world that perish so easily, but help us to think of heavenly things, Lord, to do heavenly work day to day. Bless this evening, Lord God. Help us in our many ways that we go tomorrow and the rest of the week, and bring us back safely. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Hey, you're looking well.
What?
You're looking well.
Thank you, brother. I'm feeling better. The effects of that radiation is slowly going away. I